Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Shining.
Welcome to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. And on tonight's show, we are doing our next tournament of pop culture. It is going to be super duper exciting. And the topic will be best secondary characters on TV shows of all time. Also, I will be joined by comedian Jay Baker and entertainer Mike Gordon. And we just had the State of the Union address, and I can't believe what I saw with my own two eyes. But lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, before all of that, excitement takes place tonight on The Q. We have a special guest calling in live from Park City, Utah, the Sundance Film Festival 2012, Tony Cabral. Tony, what is going on, sir?
Not too much, Marky Mark. How are you doing there in St. Louis?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. The people at home are watching you right now on iWatchRadio.com, where you can finally see what we're talking about. And how is the wonderful weather of Sundance this year?
It is actually rather frigid this year. Rather frigid, and it got snowy for the first half of the festival so far.
It got cold, huh?
Well, when we got to Park City last week, it was they were actually having a snow drought. They were severely behind on their snowfall, and then over the weekend, they dumped a few feet of snow. So we made up for it over the weekend, but we're still highs in the 30s, lows down in the teens, It's the mountains, baby.
All right. Now, every year, Tony Cabral, ever since me and Tony had our show called Primetime with Mark and Tony, has been going out to the Sundance Film Festival. He's actually been doing this for quite a few years. This is like the beginning of his third decade. I think he started in the 90s, went through the last decade. Now he's into this new decade. I don't understand how he does it. But he has now become quite successful.
Years,
what's that?
13 years, baby. 13 years.
13 badass years. Tony.
Yes.
2012 Sundance. I have not heard much about this Sundance Film Festival. Is there a reason? Is it just a lackluster set of films? Is it the exact same caliber as we always get? What seems to be different about this year? Because last year there was a lot of fanfare going into Sundance, especially around Kevin Smith, the whole Red State situation. This year, real low-key, haven't heard a single thing.
Well, you don't have a film like Red State that we had last year. Last year Red State was, of course, the big daddy of them all. Kevin Smith decided to hold the fake auction for his own movie. You don't have something that big this year. You do have some smaller films getting picked up by different outlets. The sales reps are running furiously around Park City, but, it's not the same. It seems a little bit quieter. However, all the films are definitely packed. Every house is a packed house.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that last year we were down a theater because they were rebuilding one of the theaters that we got back this year, the Mark Theater, the Racquet Club here in Park City, which is a rather large venue for us. And last year, we had full houses. This year, and with the Mark coming back, several hundred seat theater, close to 500 seats, we have packed houses all over Park City. It's crazy.
Now, what is the movie that it seems to be the most important movie this year, the buzz movie? Like we said, last year was Red State. In the past, it's been Tadpole or Saw. What's the one movie this year that has just been buzzing people up? Either it has already shown or it hasn't shown yet, but everybody wants to see it or everybody's talking about it.
It's really hard to say because, even all of us volunteers, we go back and forth talking about what movies are good, what movies are bad. But they're really, there's been a lot of, everything really is kind of good this year. I'd say, you got a lot of good 3.5, 4 star out of 5 movies, but nothing that really just jumps, nothing's jumped so far out of the forefront to where you're like, oh my God, really, the one movie I know that, all of our midnight movies are usually packed, the one movie that had just amazing attendance a few nights ago, and I'm just trying to quickly grab the, was of course John Dies at the End. I know that you actually had asked me on Twitter earlier about John Dies at the End, and from a very famous director, Don Coscarelli, who, of course, did Phantasm, you know, it's based on a book by David Wong, and it's basically like, you know, one guy's psychotic, you know, drug-induced, you know, trip, basically. But it's, you know, that was one that was a very, very full house. We had a lot of really packed houses for all of our Midnight Films we've shown so far. Great film about the last couple of days of LCD Sound System, Shut Up and Play the Hits. Of course, I actually yesterday got to see a movie that a lot of people who watch comedy are going to, you know about, which is Tim and Eric's billion-dollar movie, which already has gotten distribution from Magnolia.
Yeah, Tim and Eric, very popular comedy duo who does a late-night Adult Swim television show, or I can't remember if it's Adult Swim or Comedy Central, but either it's on. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. Tim and Eric's really awesome show. So those guys are very talented. That's the one where they're dressed like with the goatees and they got the pictures on the wall behind them. They look like bad '80s rockers.
Yeah, it starts off basically where they, of course, basically embezzled $1 billion or they didn't make a movie, and how they plan to pay that $1 billion debt back. And of course, Tim and Eric do not disappoint with their outlandish shenanigans.
All right, well, Tony Cabral, thank you so much for calling in from the Sundance Film Festival. We are going to bid you farewell on that cold, frigid night there in Park City, Utah. Enjoy it, when you come back to St. Louis, what we're going to do is we're going to have you on the show so that you can talk a little bit about everything that you witnessed and enjoyed while you were out there.
Certainly, most definitely.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on The Q. When we come back, I will be joined by comedian Jake Baker. Gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Actually, you know what I think I need to do? I need to move over this way. I need to move over that way. Hi. How's everybody doing? Mark Bland And I'm joined tonight, ladies and gentlemen, by Jake Baker, comedian extraordinaire. Sir, how have you been?
Doing well.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. We're going to be doing the Tournament of Pop Culture here in just a few seconds.
Sure.
And we're going to have a special guest call in to join us with it on the on it. So that's getting ready to happen too. But before we do that, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to give you a choice, Jake Baker. I never give anyone who comes on my show.
I'm a man of options, let me tell you.
You are a man of options.
I can't be cornered down into something, so you have to give me options.
I will give you options, all the options you can handle, penises included. Probably not in that order.
Not an option if I could choose it.
Ah, fair enough.
Sure.
Who's going to hold that against you? Nobody. Pun intended.
Sure.
I'll either talk about the State of the Union address or Jerry Sandusky's speech at Joe Paterno's funeral. Which one do you think is more rife with comedy bits?
It's hard to say. You know, like, I really don't know much about the Sandusky. You know, the fact that they even let him speak at the funeral is a little odd.
Let's talk about it then.
Yeah. So I'll say that it really, I'm trying really, really hard not to judge in that situation because nobody knows the real story.
Oh, don't worry. You know. We'll judge. We're fantastic at
You're
judging.
You're right. I only judge for sport.
As thousands of mourners gathered at Penn State's campus spiritual center Wednesday afternoon to say their farewells to Joe Paterno, former assistant coach Jerry Sandusky took the opportunity to express his deep, everlasting gratitude for everything his late mentor had done for him. "When I think of how much my life I owe to Joe Paterno, I don't even know where to begin," said Sandusky, who confesses to feeling overcome while attending the former football coach's funeral. "I think it is safe to say I would have been able to lead a life I wouldn't have been able to lead the life I've led, wouldn't have grown into the man I've become if I hadn't been under
Did anybody
his leadership.
Any of this before he decided.
I can't even begin to imagine what would have become to me if not for Joe Paterno."
See, this is the reason why I write things down before I try them on stage, because you're like, you want to have a good grip of what you're saying before you actually run. You know, and like, you like to add, pun intended, you definitely want to include those, you know, like.
"Truly, he gave me a place where I could reach my full potential, not just as a coach, but as a man," continued Sandusky in his voice cracking. "So many of my accomplishments would not have been possible without him. And the unique atmosphere he created at Penn State."
Unique atmosphere. Did he say... Is this really what Sandusky said, and did somebody write this for...
Paterno and Sandusky enjoyed a relationship stretching back almost 50 years, with each helping the other pursue their passions.
Are you sure this wasn't taken off of Facebook?
I mean, this is hilarious. I'm sorry. This is cracking me up.
It does write itself.
Sandusky said, "While it was true the two men harbored different dreams, aspirations, and desires..."
This is hilarious.
Puts out crying. It's so funny. "Paterno was careful never to stand in his way. In fact, he affirmed Paterno's wholehearted attention to overall success and reputation of Penn State's football allowed Sandusky to focus on building his own league. See, at Happy Valley," where he was always able to go after what he wanted the most.
Oh.
"How many people honestly get to fulfill their very deepest desires in life?" Sandusky asked. "Let alone fulfill those desires over and over again, year in and year out, day after day for decades."
Wow.
That's the kind of life that Joe was allowed to live.
Is this real? This can't be real, right? I mean...
Sandusky then added, I owe it all to the tradition he established at Penn State University. Although Sandusky said he cherished the freedom he was allowed under Paterno, he admitted there was never any question as to who was ultimately in charge of and responsible for the football program.
It just keeps
Make no mistake.
Worse.
Make no mistake. Joe would give you free rein, but he always knew exactly what was going on at State College. Sandusky, grinning slightly at the memory of his friend and colleague, he had ways of letting us know that as long as we weren't interfering with Nittany Lion football, we could do our own thing and let him worry about the big picture.
Oh my God. Did I mean, whoever put this together had to have been laughing so hard.
I could not have asked for a more perfect boss, Sandusky added. It was me. under the legendary head coach, 67-year-old Sandusky established a charitable organization called The Second Mile, which allowed him to bring thousands of underprivileged and at-risk youths to campus, introducing them to all aspects of Penn State football tradition. Paterno served as Second Mile for years as one of the program's biggest fundraisers, thereby single-handedly helping Sandusky's involvement in the lives of as many children as possible.
Wow.
Life is about more than just football, said Sandusky. It's also about being active in your community. Before speaking at length about the particular vulnerabilities of children and going into great detail about how badly young boys need strong, confident figures in their life, I remember how much Joe cared about the image of Penn State football and how determined he was to protect that image within this community.
Sure.
He had to be. I tell you, from the depths of my soul, Joe Paterno could do no wrong in my book, he added, and I believe he wanted people to think the same of me personally. After stepping away from the program in 99, Sandusky was given an emeritus position with the Nittany Lions that included an office and unrestricted access to the recreation rooms, the showers, and the other athletic facilities on campus.
Sure, people need to shower all the time.
Wouldn't have known what to do without it. That's what he made the statement about. This was a man who looked out for his program, but at the end of the day, he was very much aware that the program is its people. Sandusky said of Paterno, he knew that taking care of the program meant taking care of me personally. So, sure, we had our tough times, of course, but some things are bigger than football, like friendship and a legacy that you hope to leave behind.
Sure.
Completely.
Wow.
Forever.
This is really well put together. I mean.
With Paterno's passing. Now closing the final chapter in their relationship, Sandusky said he can't help but smile when he reflects back on their tenure together at Penn State. I had many years of great times at Penn State, said Sandusky. Years and years of great times, and I owe every single minute of it to Joe Paterno.
Yes, he does.
So that is what he said at the funeral.
That's fantastic. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
It does not, but you know what does? Ourselves. You know what does get better than that? And
it does. I mean, like, you know, here's the one thing I keep saying about this. And I think everybody is really not giving any credit to Sandusky's recruiting skills. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah, you got to test them out.
That's what I mean. To get away with what he's done.
Find him as young as he was finding
him. It's one thing to talk a dude into going to a certain college. It's another thing to talk somebody into doing what he got them to do. Do you see what I mean? Like
most guys don't even make that decision until they're 18.
Yeah, he's a
He had them at like 12.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, obviously, you know, even when you
oh, we
this,
have a caller.
Say that, I mean, there's no way that anybody could not know.
All right. Fair enough.
Somebody had to transcribe this. Do you see what I mean?
Hello.
Oh, Mike Gordon, are you there?
I am here in the flesh.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for us to start the Tournament of Pop Culture.
Absolutely.
And I am now joined by comedian Jake Baker.
Hello.
And in the background, entertainer Mike Gordon. How are
he
you doing, Mike?
In the flesh, but he's actually on.
I'm doing incredible. Just got done with band practice. Got a big open mic tonight at Cusimano's. So really excited about that. Thanks, Mike, for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Mike, very sorry. Unfortunately, all my listeners are national, 6,000 strong to be exact. They don't even know what Cusimano's is, but that's fantastic. That's great.
That's cool.
I'm just giving you credit.
They can check it out now.
They can check it out now. Yeah. They can get on a plane and fly in here right now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Tournament of Pop Culture. This Tournament of Pop Culture, Jake and Mike, is going to be secondary characters on TV. You know how every show has the primary characters, right?
Yeah. How old the shows are we talking about?
We're talking about in the history of TV.
Okay, I haven't watched a television show.
No, it's okay. I got people from your past. I might even scratch one. In fact, I think if I had a pen, I would do it. I was going to scratch one. Hey, if Patrick, the producer, is out there and can come and throw me a pen through the door.
It's magic.
Right now. It's magic. Live on TV.
He's not. Woo! We're on the roof of a building. So, you know.
And I'm making bunny ears. Okay. Patrick, are you back there? I bet you he's not even mad. He just doesn't care.
It's really
doesn't even care. Doesn't even want that quality. Oh, look at it. Throw it. Toss it. Ho! Look at that. Booyah pen. All right, here we go.
This is, don't you love how wind-free it is up on this roof?
Oh, this is wind-free. That's my cityscape in the background, man. I had to put that together myself personally.
Is
I
that built St. that Louis city.
We built that city on rock and roll.
Is it St. Louis skyline?
Mike. All right. So, gentlemen, we are going to do the Tournament of Pop Culture, secondary characters in TV. Obviously, you know, like Roseanne, primary character. Mm-hmm. Her husband, Dan Connor, secondary character.
Sure. Okay.
You have Zach Morris, and you have Screech. Okay. Pretty straightforward. Okay. Secondary characters in TV. So we're going to break each one of these down, one-on-one. They're in no specific order. I have gone through tons of experience and wasting of my day on the interwebs to create this list. And now we're going to do this list for you. So these are in no specific order. They're just, I literally put them into a generator, pop it up, as we've always done with the Tournament of Pop Culture.
Well, you guys are pretty high-tech over there. What, generator?
I have generators. I have generators that make stuff. Do you make stuff?
I try. I try to make babies, but I'm not very successful at that.
Mike, I keep trying to tell you it's a national audience. They're not going to fly in. They're not coming from other cities to do anything.
Creating babies is for the lazy.
They're in New York right now, watching on their computer going, I love that fucking Mark Bland guy. Who's that guy who wants to have sex with me in the background? I don't get it.
Who's trying to have sex with you, Mark Bland? Is anybody on the planet ever trying to have sex with you?
No.
Good point. Not Jake Baker. Definitely not Jake Baker.
There's not even any calls showing up.
His penis is way too small. I'm just going to be honest. All right, let's get into this Tournament of Pop Culture right now. Here's number one. The number one bracket to start off this Tournament of Pop Culture secondary characters. Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother. Played by Neil Patrick Harris. All right. Versus Norm from Cheers.
Oh, this is easy.
So, by a vote, because everybody out there listening and watching the show, we do a vote. Three people vote, and best out of three people moves on that character or that entertainer into the next round of the bracket. So, Mike Gordon, you go first. If you had to choose between Norm from Cheers and Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother, who would you choose? And
now,
why?
What am I choosing them for? For a better character, for a better drinking buddy, a better wingman?
No, you're just choosing them straight up to be the better secondary television character in history.
Oh, a Norm, by far.
Norm.
I mean, Neil Patrick Harris, you gotta love Doogie Howser, but yeah, Norm, for sure.
And don't forget Harold and Kumar and all that stuff he did, doing roofies and stuff. Who doesn't love roofies? I love roofies.
My girls love roofies.
I'm not going to waste roofies on some broad, I'll tell you that, man. I'm going to eat those things myself. That's just how I am. I like to...
You like to experiment with your own
black
stuff.
Black out and come to. And
you are the exception to the rule of don't get high on your own supply. Exactly. You get high on your own supply.
That's what I'm supposed to do.
I get it.
I'm not a dealer, man.
You do realize that most comedians that do drugs die, and then we talk about them for years.
I didn't break the news.
He was 33, and he died in a hotel room.
All people die eventually. So
Tom Segura is next. Okay.
I'm going to go with Norm on this one, clearly because just from the knowledge that I know that Norm was able to drink on the job, and that's enough said.
All right.
I mean, and he never even memorized his lines. He just wrote them down on a bar napkin. To me, that's the ultimate job. If you can get paid to do that.
That's genius.
You know, yeah.
I agree.
I mean, Barney Stinson, I guess, I mean, he's acting like a heterosexual, which is nice, but that doesn't, you know.
All right, fair enough. So, and I feel I agree. Norm from Cheers, the show was a little bit more popular than How I Met Your Mother. I mean, How I Met Your Mother is a little bit newer of a show, but Cheers is a juggernaut. Norm is a classic character.
Was it just me, or you remember in the beginning credits of Cheers, you know, there was that, like, the old pictures? Didn't that one kind of look like Norm, or was that crazy?
I think you're crazy.
Okay.
You might even be up on roofies right now.
Nah,
it's possible.
Yeah, possible.
All right, next round. You ready for this, Mike Gordon?
Oh, yes.
Elmo, one of the stars of Sesame Street, longest running show.
Yeah.
He is a secondary character. I wouldn't say that he's Big Bird or the primaries. He came down the road years later, you know. Mm-hmm. So I consider him a secondary character. But he is by far the most popular secondary character, possibly on this list. I mean, I don't buy Norm stuff at the store, but I can buy Elmo stuff.
That's true.
Every single Christmas, they'll let me know 1,000 times how Elmo can wiggle, giggle, and tickle.
Good
like
luck
Jerry Sandusky
go,
in the showers.
They're not. Kids care about Elmo, you're right.
Jerry Sandusky.
Nobody wants to tickle Norm.
How about Jerry Sandusky?
But Dan Connor. I don't know. Would you tickle Dan Connor?
All right. But he's going up against Mike Gordon. Mike Gordon. Elmo's going up against Dan Connor from Roseanne. Hometown boy, right there.
Right.
Very famous. I wouldn't even consider him a comedian. He was an actor.
He went to Missouri State, too.
Yeah, but he was an actor who became funny on TV.
Yeah.
He had great writers in Roseanne.
He's a great comedic actor, though, I think.
Right, he's a great comedic actor. Yeah. I think he's fantastic. Yeah. By far, the atypical or stereotypical middle-class father because of that show. I mean,
I
every guy...
Voice. What about Big Lebowski, man? He's awesome.
You can't beat that. Mike Gordon, what do you think? Elmo or Dan Connor?
I mean, I had fun tickling Elmo, but I had more fun tickling Dan Connor.
Oh,
going with John Goodman on this one.
Yeah. John Goodman. All right. I don't care what you think. I am going to go Elmo because I feel that Elmo, and because I have a 2.5-year-old at home, Elmo does signify good things to all kids and children and adults across the United States. Like, whereas Dan was dealing with Darlene and her ability to masturbate early in her life on TV.
Sometimes I still think about Darlene masturbating.
That's right. He still does.
And both of the Beckys.
Yes. But it's way more creepy to think about Bert and Ernie.
That's true.
Doing it to Elmo.
You know what? I think
maybe airtight.
Have you ever
all
tried
night long
introducing your 2-year-old to a Tickle Me John Goodman doll, though? Have you even tried?
No, but Mike, do you know what airtight means?
Airtight, like how Evan Bourne is with Pat Patterson. Airtight.
Whoa! Hey-o! All right. So, you say Dan Connor? You say Dan Connor? Dan Connor moves on.
Boom.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Next up, Dwight Schrute from The Office. Very funny. Very entertaining. Versus Uncle Jesse from Full House. Uncle Jesse could be the dark horse. I mean, this is Uncle Jesse.
I know it's hard to you know, like the only women who aren't attracted to John Stamos are lesbians.
True. Mike Gordon, are you attracted to John Stamos?
I am a heterosexual man, but I am so attracted to John Stamos. How can you not go Uncle Jesse on this one?
Okay, I'm going Uncle Jesse. You're going Uncle Jesse. Jake Baker's going Uncle Jesse. We move on.
I mean,
Uncle
even though I'll give Dwight Schrute the fact that, you know, the fact that Rainn Wilson was arrested in a hit and run, or like
he killed people.
He wrecked his car and then like left drugs in there and stuff and got busted, which is, it's kind of nice to know that he's still like that. But the other side of it is Uncle Jesse, you know, John Stamos. Here's the thing with John Stamos. The thing about John Stamos is that he has banged every hot broad ever.
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 Even blue ones.
Ever, as soon as they
even
come
ones
out,
that are blue that change shape.
And she's the new hot chick. It's going to come out eventually in some talk show that she already banged John
Stamos. It's possible John Stamos banged like Mike that. Gordon. Mike Gordon, were you banged by John Stamos?
If you had to bang a dude, it'd probably be somebody.
I totally was. And the only reason I let John Stamos bang me is so I could lick the tip of his member because it's been in Rebecca Romijn Stamos. That's why I had to do it.
That is amazing.
That's right.
That is crazy and weird, and we don't like that. Don't talk like that. That is just wrong. FCC regulations state we can't talk like that.
No, Patrick Gallagher says we can't talk like that, but that's a different story.
Good point. Good point. All right. The Fonz. The Fonz. Henry Winkler. The Fonz. Hey. Versus Stewie from Family Guy. This is a juggernaut kind of matchup.
Yeah.
I mean, these are two big dogs going head-to-head against each other.
I know. Stewie's already had a longer run, probably, at
Stewie,
this point.
Stewie, I don't
know.
But
the Fonz does have the infamous...
leather jacket?
Privilege of,
you're wearing the leather jacket.
He has the infamous privilege of being the dude who is Jump the Shark.
That's true. They termed coined a term after the fact that on an episode of Happy Days, he literally jumped a shark tank.
Jumped a shark. So, like, he... And, you know, and Stewie that's when they knew that the show was going down. Career, which is hilarious.
Mike Gordon, who would you choose, Stewie or the Fonz?
I got to go with the coke snorting, alcohol drinking, pot smoking baby Stewie from Family Guy. How can you not?
Fair enough. What about you, Jake Baker?
Oh man, you know, like I'd hate to say this, even though the Fonz does get the privilege of jumping the shark, Stewie has had a longer run. He's a better character altogether, and you get more entertainment out of Stewie than you do from
So unfortunately,
Stewie wins this one.
I was going to go the Fonz because I like the Fonz and I understand Stewie, well, but I can erase
Happy
Stewie.
Days are over.
Happy days are over. Rose Nyland, Betty White from Golden Girls. Very talented.
Yep.
Versus Job from Arrested Development.
Tough.
Betty White or Job, Mike Garland? Or Mike Garland? Mike Garland?
Hey.
Mike Garland.
And Mike Garland sounds like a brother of Judy Garland. Judy Garland would have gone with Betty White, so Betty White.
All right. He's going, Mike Gordon's going Betty White. What about you, Jake?
Yeah, you know, Arrested Development just didn't get a long enough run. Betty White's been able to milk that character into more work, so you got to go Rose Nyland on this one.
All right, Betty White moves on. Rose Nyland, right. The character.
She's
Betty
from
White.
St. Olaf.
That's right, baby. All right, Ari Gold from Entourage, played by Jeremy Piven, versus Cosmo Kramer.
No brainer.
No, because we don't like the N-word.
Oh. Yeah, you bring that. Well, when you
bring it up like that, okay. But we're character for character. We're doing TV.
You know, like the one time you catch Kramer being openly racist. You know, Jeremy Piven is probably really racist behind closed doors.
That's very possible. Mike Gordon.
I got an interesting story on this. I was actually this is no bull crap. I don't even know if I can cuss, but. I was in a movie with Jeremy Piven when I was 6 years old. It's called White Palace. So I got to experience Ari Gold in his true Jewism and out on the set of White Palace. So I can't steer away from my longtime friend, Jeremy Piven, Ari Gold. Got to go with him.
I, on the other hand, am going to go Cosmo Kramer. I'm the biggest Entourage fan. Love Entourage. Huge fan. But unfortunately, if I have to put the two characters up against each other, they created a picture that people still hang in their offices off of Cosmo Kramer.
Yeah.
That's how big and popular the character of Cosmo Kramer was. Ari Gold, very talented, very funny, but I don't think the character stands up to a Cosmo Kramer. I'm going Cosmo Kramer. Jake Baker, you're going to break the tie.
Could Jeremy Piven have carried a role in UHF? No, is the answer to the question.
But he did carry a role in PCU. Very similar movie.
Dang it, you're right, with acronyms.
With acronyms, too. Mm. Remember, you can major in anything in college.
I'm going Hell, Kramer. You can, I pick Kramer.
Okay, Cosmo no Kramer greater. Moves
For
on.
Me, I'm sorry, I'm just not. If I was a bigger Entourage fan, there might be an argument. Or maybe if I was in a movie, like Michael. Then I might agree. But
yeah,
I
get, Mike's I a get, movie star. White Palace, that's a huge movie.
I didn't get to meet
him. Susan Sarandon was in that, wasn't
Jeremy
she?
Jeremy Piven. The only thing else I know about him is that he got mercury poisoning from eating too much sushi.
Okay, our next one up is actually taking a change. We are changing Sue Sylvester from Glee, although she is very funny, to Screech. It is Screech, Zach Morris's buddy from good old Bayside High.
He did film a porno.
Yes. I mean. Versus Eric Cartman from South Park. Now, Eric Cartman has made me laugh way more than Screech ever did. That's but then true. Again, I have to bring this up for all three of us, gentlemen, because we're all around the same age group. We're in our 30s. And the truth is that Screech is kind of part of our childhood. Like the Goonies. He's part of our childhood. Yeah. Like, that's some nostalgia, Mike Gordon. What are you going to do? Screech or Eric Cartman?
Well, here's what's going on. Screech, in his porno, gave a girl a dirty Sanchez for real, okay? So it's kind of hard to vote against Screech, but for somebody that is such an incredible character that transcends generations, Eric Cartman is my choice.
He gave her a real dirty Sanchez?
Oh, for real dirty Sanchez. No joke.
That is funny.
Screech gave a dirty Sanchez, so it's hard to pick against him, but I got to go with Eric Cartman for sure.
All right. Eric Cartman says Mike Gordon. What about you?
Yeah, you got to go with Eric Cartman here. They just hit on so many other topics than Cartman. Screech just doesn't get it for me. As a matter of fact, when I see his name on any billboard in comedy clubs, it still bothers me a little bit because it's like, look, you are taking work away from a real comic. You know what I mean? Like,
bullshit. No. I disagree. I love you, but I disagree.
Here
because
we go. Like, I have a friend who called in sick to work so he could watch a Saved by the Bell marathon. So I understand the people.
No. I'm going to argue on behalf
of... But let me tell you something about whether people show up to see Screech or not. all of them are disappointed.
Right, and that's understandable, because I understand that, you know, me and Mike, we kind of have a background in the professional wrestling business.
If he showed the porn,
and we understand what it means to put butts in seats.
Yeah.
Because that's what professional wrestling is. Here's a ring with a guy who's, you know, tatted up, or he's, you know, juiced up, or whatever the hell he is, and he's going to get in and wrestle another dude, and you got to put butts in seats. It's called drawing, okay? But I'm going to defend Screech for one purpose and one purpose only. The fact is that you hate the fact that he draws, period. It doesn't matter how he draws.
Wrong. He doesn't draw that many people at all.
But if he draws at all.
He draw. The fact that he's
but he's playing the funny bone that's got 200 people.
I do the funny bone and there's 200 people.
Exactly. So you both draw. You see my point?
I guess.
I mean, that's, you both draw. You both fill the house either way. You just don't like the fact that he did it from Bayside.
But the other side of it is, if we're going to continue on the Screech, here's look. He had a run on a TV show. He made some money, blew all of his money, continued to make more money on the road, blew all of that money. Now he's trying to make a porno to save his house and trying to get people to help him save his fucking house. You know, like, you don't deserve it, dude. If you learn how to save any money and you were a decent human being, maybe you wouldn't have these problems. But instead, we're going to have to keep, you know, viewing you as Screech, as some movie star in your own brain. You keep viewing yourself like that, and that's why you keep doing this shit.
Fair enough. I agree.
I think his uncle had something to do with that. Neil Diamond, whose son is Mike Diamond from the Beastie Boys. You know, they come from a long lineage of entertainers, so he just keeps getting a shot, and he doesn't deserve it. So, Jake, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
You don't think that Mike D and the Beastie Boys deserves a shot, or Neil Diamond?
No. I don't think Dustin Diamond, Screech, I don't think he deserves a shot. And the only reason he does get a shot over and over and over is because he's from a long lineage of diamonds, from Neil Diamond, his uncle, from Mike D, Mike Diamond, and the Beastie Boys.
And like, they're all
from the same family. So,
you know, like, at least Neil Diamond.
I guess
you
can ride that weight all the way.
He's got a collection of music you can look at.
Listen,
I've got my T-shirt as we speak.
Listen, I'll put it out there like this. Get what you can while you can, right? The Republicans and conservatives taught me that. You do what you can while you can, and let all the haters say whatever they got to say.
Yeah, but that's a silly game, man. You know, you bury one president for, you know, knowing you're going to bury him for 10 or 8, 10 years, you know what I mean? There's no way to get out of that.
All right, we're moving on. Rachel Green from Friends, the Rachel, Jennifer Aniston, versus Steve Urkel. Mike Gordon, what do you think?
How is Steve Urkel not the primary character on Family Matters?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
It's a tough one.
What's the dad's name on that show?
Well, just for that simple fact, I'm going with Rachel from Friends because Urkel, it was the primary character on Family Matters.
All right, we're going to go Rachel.
I think I'm going to have to go with Rachel in this one because she was able to parlay that same character into 20 other different movies where she...
Yeah, fuck her! Fuck her if she puts 200 seats in the funny bone in St. Louis, that bitch!
She acted like Rachel in every movie.
Yeah, she sucks!
No, I'm not angry.
How dare her!
Look, here's the thing. I will.
He wouldn't even have sex with my penis.
You want me
her.
To rip Jennifer Aniston apart? I'll let you know. Here's the thing. You can't be in a spotlight and then try to get with somebody else in a spotlight and expect it to work. You know?
I bet
mean?
You really
You're
hate
like
people
really
who aren't funny.
Famous, Rachel. You know what? You know, she's like Jennifer Aniston. Really... She's like Salma Hayek went out and found a billionaire. Why don't you do that instead of continuing to date actors and then wonder why you can't find love when you have somebody whose ego is bigger than yours?
I bet you're really angry at guys who run McDonald's because they got into a position.
I'm not angry at anybody, actually.
All right, we're moving on. Next category, we are into the second round of this. It's going to go a lot faster because that's just how it always works. Norm from Cheers, Mike Gordon, versus Dan Connor.
Well, I don't know why I have to keep going first, the battle of the fat guys, but I'm going to go with John Goodman, hometown boy. I smoked a joint with John Goodman one time. At an after-school picnic, so I'm going to have to go with John Goodman.
At an after-school
picnic? Yep, and he has that a lot. You're right, he's got to have a definitely more of a like prolific career.
Yes, much more prolific.
Than George Wendt.
Okay, Uncle Jesse, Jake, I'm sorry, Mike, hold on for a second. Let's make Jake go first.
I got this one, Mike.
Yeah, Jake's going to go first. Uncle Jesse from Full House, John Stamos, and the penis that just won't quit. Versus Stewie from Family Guy and the head that looks like a football. Jake Baker, you go first, then I'll go second, and we'll leave Mike Gordon out of it.
If I was a cool dude, I'd say Stewie, but I'm not. You know what I mean? So the reality of the situation is John Stamos, Full House, one of the most popular shows in the world.
I totally agree. Uncle Jesse is moving through. We didn't even need...
I remember him when he was Blackie on General Hospital, so...
We didn't even need Mike Gordon for that one. Mike, you were unneeded. Hey, well,
but I was agreeing with you guys anyway. I mean, you know, I got some fuel for the fire in the next round for Uncle Jesse.
So all right. Mike Gordon, you go first. Rose Nyland, Betty White from Cheers, versus Cosmo Kramer. They actually probably went up against each other in the ratings back in the day, one-on-one.
That's a tough
In the
one.
Early days of, probably of Seinfeld, since the Golden Girls were on in the late 80s. Early days of Seinfeld, late 80s, early 90s.
I don't even know what Betty White did before Golden Girls, so that's really my only exposure to
her.
She was in soap. Except for her recent thrust into pop culture recently.
And you know,
so I got to go with Cosmo Kramer. I think, you know, as controversial as a character as he is, as controversial as the person he deserves to go on.
Yeah. All right, Cosmo Kramer, what about you, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, as much as there was soap, and what I was going to add is that, interestingly enough, in soap, she played a character that was more like Blanche.
True. Yeah, she did.
And then in the Golden Girls, when she was casted, she was supposed to play Blanche's role, and Blanche was supposed to play her role, and they just switched it. There's a little factoid for you. But the outside of it is, I'm going to have to go with Kramer on this one, too, because even though Rose Nyland, quote-unquote, has been able to parlay that into some other jobs, I mean... Really, Lake Placid just isn't enough of a work to compare to what Kramer has really created. I mean, Seinfeld is $1 billion.
Lake Placid was hilarious, though.
I don't know if the Golden Girls is a $1 billion industry, though.
You know, I don't know. I'd like to see what their numbers did, because they I don't know if they're $1 billion, but, you know, they're up there.
I bought Golden Girls t-shirts for my girlfriend.
Eric Cartman versus Rachel from Friends. I'm going to go first on this one. I'm going to say Eric Cartman moves on. I like Cartman... Because I just think he brings...
Mike, did we vote on that?
Oh, that's a landslide.
Oh.
Yeah, I think Cartman's going through. What do you think, Jake? Are you going to do Rachel?
No, I didn't know. I just thought you were writing it down. I just wanted to put you on blast.
Yeah, you wanted to put me on blast, but then you agreed with everything I did.
All right.
Wow.
The Rachel cut. She did. There's no Cartman haircut yet.
Here we are. Final four. Dan Connor versus... Dan Connor versus Uncle Jesse. Mike Gordon.
There is no man that was more envied on TV growing up than Uncle Jesse.
Hell yeah!
All the 13-year-old girls wanted to bang Uncle Jesse, so I wanted hair like that.
And all the guys, all the boys, we wanted to hang out with Uncle Jesse so we could be next to DJ.
There are still 13-year-old girls who want to bang Uncle Jesse. That's a worldwide phenomenon.
Hey, you can't beat that. It's like a short dick.
Worldwide phenomenon. And he's a Greek goddess, let's face it. Did I say goddess?
Uncle Jesse, John Sandusky Mos. John Sandusky Mos.
He's that pretty.
All right. Uncle Jesse moves on.
Sorry, Dan Connor. Even though I like him in Tremé. You ever watch that show?
No, I haven't ever seen that one.
It's a show about New Orleans on HBO. It's great.
There you go. Kramer versus Cartman. Jake Baker.
Oh.
Hey, you know, like, maybe if I have to go Kramer on this one, sorry. I mean, I'm not a huge Cartman fan. Sometimes he's a little annoying, and what's even more annoying is nobody does Kramer impressions like people do Cartman impressions. So it's almost kind of...
You do realize...
Screw you guys, I am not going home!
See?
Cartman all the way, baby.
Oh, that leaves the tiebreaker up to me. This is going to be a tough one for me. Because he picked against Cartman, I'm assuming that Cartman thinks that Jake Baker's mom's a big fat bitch.
Here's the thing, though.
And I don't think she is. I think she's a nice lady. But I guarantee you, if Eric was here, that's what he would do.
Would kick both of our asses if she heard us talking like
yes,
that.
Yes. We are not going to talk like that no more.
But as a cartoon, nice you get lady. Away with a lot more than you can get away with as a real person, you know?
Like, that's true.
That's why the Simpsons lasted so much longer.
There's talent there to be
Family Guy will last so much longer for that reason, too.
You know, I'm going to go Cosmo Kramer. I think Cartman put up a great, great front to get here, but I'm going Cosmo Kramer. And the reason I'm going Cosmo Kramer is because it was a show about nothing. That they self-admitted that made you laugh every week. That's if they just put up a picture of Cartman every single week, you wouldn't just laugh at it. But you could do that with Cosmo because he was a weird
dude. I still laugh at it.
Yes. And he's racist. We don't like that. We don't condone it. but he is racist. And we're afraid.
I'm an equal opportunity offender over here. So
that's right. Okay.
I'll offend everybody equally.
Here's the finale.
I work in clubs. I have a pretty good idea of probably what happened that night because they only showed a clip of what happened.
You don't work in clubs. Dustin Diamond works in clubs. You just happen to be really angry at him.
I have a schedule probably better than Dustin Diamond.
Jake's absolutely right. You know what? Like when hecklers are up there, like, you know, I've seen it, as I know that Jake has it. You know, they're just assholes, and they're just up there, you know, yelling at you regardless of what you do. And you've got no other way to, you know, Kramer did it wrong. You know, he shouldn't have busted out with the N-word.
They only showed the they recorded him going off. They didn't show any of the other stuff leading up to how much they yelled at him or whatever they said to him. You know, and maybe he meant it as a joke. But, you know, clearly you can't say shit like
that. Right, we don't know what the deal is because we didn't get the precursor.
But, you know, I mean... Here's the thing about humor, anyway.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Go ahead.
Is that, you know, like, there shouldn't be too many barriers because it's a joke. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Create these barriers.
If you say
you can't
joke
about this, you can't joke about that, and you can't joke about that. But in reality, all of those things exist, whether they're stereotypes or not. So you should be able to make fun of anything. Everything's open game in my mind. I think that, I mean, does it look bad the way he was going off and what was filmed and what was put out there?
Yeah.
It looks horrifying. You're mortified if you're the person doing it. But in reality, I've seen way worse in clubs. I've seen comics do and say way worse things than that in front of people, and crowds go nuts for it. So you can't tell me that's just LA, where everybody's hypersensitive about everything. You can have the best joke on the planet, and if it's about the wrong person, they're just like, ooh, you know what I mean? So they can rip the humor out of it.
Now, I'm by no means a comedian myself. I would say that I tend to be comedic at times, more witty than anything else.
People are just laughing at you more than with you.
Really, all you did was hurt my feelings about the small penis joke.
Right. Yeah, listen. I tend to be more witty than anything else. But I'll be the first one to admit, when someone comes to me and goes, you know, I really didn't like that joke about... I'll be like, the fact that you just said, I didn't like that joke about, means you understood that it was a joke.
Right.
So don't say that.
It happens a lot. I people
smarten up. Stop acting like you're from St. Louis for once in your damn life. Okay. Let's move on. The finale.
Dun, dun,
Uncle
dun,
Jesse dun, versus Cosmo Kramer. Mike Gordon, you tell me who you think's the winner.
I think it's obvious by my other picks that, lo and behold, the man of the hour, the man of the year, the man of the decade, the man of the century, Mr. Rebecca Romaine Stamos, John Stamos.
John Jesse Consopolis?
Ladies and gentlemen, cue that Jesse and the Rippers music, because Uncle Jesse is the Tournament of Pop Culture champion. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Uncle Jesse is the man. There's no way that we could have gone through our childhoods, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, without thinking about Kimmy Gibbler.
Or my current childhood.
Or DJ, right?
Yeah, right.
Wondering what they were going to look like when we were 18, because they were hot then. We might even add a Winnie Cooper on top of it just for like some extra boom. You know what I'm saying?
But that was a lead-in show.
That was a lead-in show. But extra boom. On top of it, you had Goofy. You had Goofy there, right? Dave Coulier.
Yeah.
You had Bob Saget, which you thought he was vanilla.
You know, I worked with Dave Coulier, and he's still getting laid because of that show.
That's right. But you know who gets laid the most because of that show? And he don't even have a show? They put him on Entourage because he was so good at getting laid.
But they were young.
Uncle Jesse.
Dude, that's the thing that tripped me out.
Uncle Jesse is the winner of the Tournament of Pop Culture for Best Secondary Character in a Television Show. I want to thank Mike Gordon. Mike Gordon, thank you so much for joining us tonight, sir.
Absolutely. Can I plug my radio station real quick?
Definitely. Of course you can. Yeah, go ahead.
Wow.
Okay.
24/7. What's that?
No, we didn't hear you. You cut out, so go ahead and start over. Okay.
PartyAnimalRadio.com.
Okay.
24/7 broadcast.
I don't know why they keep fading him in and out. He seems to be fading in and out, but PartyAnimalRadio.com, that is the name of his website. And we're... a part of the Tournament of Pop Culture. It is about time for us to get out of here. But before we go, I am going to once again give you options. Options.
I love options.
The creepy new Facebook for the staggeringly rich and powerful. Which companies are using aborted human fetuses in their food? Okay. Narcissistic men. Google wants all your personal information and promises to use it for cool things.
Right.
Of course. And
you know, every porn
Oscar snubs that shouldn't have gone unnoticed. Things that shouldn't have gone unnoticed with the Oscar snubs. I didn't get a chance to talk about the State of the Union. I was pissed about that.
Did
you watch State of the Union?
No.
It was ridiculous. At one point, Barack Obama gets up in front of all those people standing there at the podium doing his little thing.
That's what he's supposed to do.
And he says to them, I am willing to give tax breaks to rich companies if they will decide to stop sending their work overseas, outsourcing it, and create American jobs here in the United States. I'll give you guys tax breaks. Said that in his State of the Union, almost those exact same words I just said. And guess what happened? The Democrats stood up and clapped and applauded. A couple Republicans that beat the pavement every time they run for president about, I'm going to cut your taxes. I'm going to make them lower. I'm going to protect the taxes and make sure that everyone gets to save money. That's their entire life. Their entire life is about cutting taxes. Mm-hmm. This man says, I'm going to cut taxes. And they don't applaud it. That's why the Republicans will not win this year, ladies and gentlemen. They're too stupid to even realize when their ideals are being used in general to help the better welfare of this entire country. One other, Travis Cook, who was on my show last week, Travis was posting on Facebook. He thought that Barack Obama was like, oh yeah, take all the money away from the Department of Defense and give it to clean energy companies because they're a bunch of idiots and blah, 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 and waste the money there. How about us defending against our enemies? Because I'm a Republican and I'm a conservative and I gotta fight everything. That's not even what the guy said. He said that because we are no longer in a war with Iraq, we have money that we're not spending there on that. We should bring half of it home and use it to pay down the national debt.
That means money's been allocated or budgeted.
Half the money should be used to pay down the national debt, which is what they've been bitching about anyway. Because they're like, Barack Obama just wants to spend money. We have a debt. We need to pay it off. He's like, let's spend half of it to pay it off.
Well, the war costs $400 billion.
That's right. And he's like, let's take the other half of that money and invest it into companies that can create new infrastructure, create new jobs, that could potentially turn into chances for employment.
But I mean, what about and what's getting some of these big companies to start paying taxes?
But the problem,
I mean, wouldn't that be nice?
Jake, I agree. The problem was that a guy like Travis exists. Nothing against Travis; he's a good guy, but he turns that into he said that he doesn't want to defend. He thinks that Barack's trying to take the money to stop defending the country. He thinks that we're not going to defend the country anymore. No. The guy just said we're not spending it on war anymore.
We're not
spending it on this war. Not that we're not going to spend it on our
country.
Army.
It seems like we've been under threat for the last 100 years.
Yeah, we've been under threat ever since the day we left England.
Ever since we started figuring out how much money we could make by knowing which companies we were going to invest weapons in.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, I think that pretty much killed it off. So.
What are the other options?
There's no more options. It's time for us to
get out of here. I wanted to talk about the part where maybe people were putting fetuses in their food.
All right, we'll talk about that real quick, and then we're out of here. Last week, Oklahoma State Senior Senator Ralph Shorty introduced a bill that would ban the manufacture and sale of food or products which use aborted human fetuses. But which foods use aborted human fetuses? Yes. Let's investigate. Okay. None. Absolutely none. That's the kind of people you elect to office. They find something that doesn't exist and they make a bill so that it doesn't happen at all.
You know, in the hometown where I grew up, they just outlawed in public, you can't suspend yourself. You know what that is when people put hooks in their body and then they hang themselves from Springfield, Missouri.
That's not even really a town.
They try to pass a law that says you can't do that in public because other people don't want to witness somebody else suspending from a
tree. That's not even a town. You know how I dictate what towns are?
What?
By where Screech will play and put butts in seats.
Nope, he's been there.
Yeah.
So is Pauly Shore.
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody will do it.
He's been there, though.
Yeah.
He's already been there with Pauly Shore.
All right. It's time for us to get out of here. I want to thank iWatchRadio.com for hosting this show every single week. Thank you so much to iWatchRadio.com. Now you can see what we are talking about. I also want to thank Jake Baker. Thank you so much, Jake.
Thank you, Mark.
I also want to thank Mike Gordon from PartyAnimalRadio.com. Do you got any upcoming gigs you want to tell everybody about?
I'm working at the Looney Bin this couple of weeks in February. I'm getting ready to move to LA in the first week of March.
Really?
That's big news. Actually, I could probably tell you this is breaking news. Really.
This is breaking
it
news.
It really is.
And you're going to do it. You're going to make the jump.
Well, I'm from LA, so I'm actually just going back home if you look at it. That's where I was born. So I went to college there as well, so my girlfriend's ready to leave St. Louis. We've been here for, I've been here for 5 years. She's been here for 14 years. She's just ready for a change. So we're going to move.
It's a good idea.
For a year or two, so.
If I were you, I would. I'd go back to Springfield. All right. I also want to make sure you check out theqnow.com. That's the brand new website, theqnow.com. You can find out about past shows, future shows, as well as a bit about me, and you can contact us at any time. Plus, our links for social networking are up there. So become our friend on Facebook and Twitter. But go to theqnow.com for more information about that. And still no takers in my 2012 ping pong challenge, open ping pong challenge. I will destroy you. And honestly, I understand why there's no takers. You don't want to be destroyed. Respect
it's
that.
It's embarrassing to get beat.
You don't want to get
in
beat down.
On, in ping pong.
Just like you don't want to be the guy who talks a great game about how you can put butts in seats and then Screech comes along and does it.
Yeah, I know.
You don't want to do that.
That's true.
Thanks so much, Jake Baker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate you being on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the queue. We'll see you next week on the show. Succeed in me, what disaster comes across.